Talk Radio for Catholic Life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the hour. It's Friday, July 24th, 2020. Coming up in this hour of Morning Air, if you're a mom or a dad and you're still praying about whether or not to send your child back to school, if the decision has even been made in your archdiocese, your community, we're going to give you some information coming up on this morning with 4 million cases of the COVID-19 virus that have been diagnosed here in the United States. Dr. Barbara Golder, who's been our go-to person on COVID-19 as the editor-in-chief of Linacre Quarterly, the Journal of the Catholic Medical Association, with some important information about keeping you and your children safe as we move forward into the brand new school year. And of course, answering any questions, concerns you may have over the COVID-19 virus. That's straight ahead here on Morning Air. Also, the COVID-19 virus and prison ministry. We think about those souls as well. And certainly many have been at risk in the prison environment. Father Joe D'Amico, a trusted voice on Relevant Radio and the Archdiocesan Director of Prison Ministry in the Archdiocese of Newark, taking that unique look at the pandemic and prison ministry. And we know many of you have gotten involved in prison ministry, and we'll share your stories as well coming up in this hour of Morning Air. But as we start this brand new day, of course, we start in prayer. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 7 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The pandemic and prison ministry, there are so many layers to this pandemic. It really is the proverbial peeling the onion back, because there's something new under every layer and, of course, more souls at risk. Father Joe D'Amico is the pastor of St. Anastasia Parish in Teaneck, New Jersey, and the Archdiocesan Director of Prison Ministry in the Archdiocese of Newark. And in the Archdiocesan newspaper, just a couple of days, an article that Father did caught our eye, and we thought we would share that with you here coast to coast on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Father D'Amico, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey, John and Glenn. How you guys doing today?
We're blessed to have you on. During this pandemic, have you been able to physically go back into the prison community?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for asking, John. Because I'm the director of prison ministry, and this is ordination season, and this is a busy time in any diocese or archdiocese, I don't think we're any exception to that. I've been getting the question very often. Oh, so Joe, what's going on in the prison ministry? What are you able to do and not to do? And I answer it very simply. And I say, well, for me, as it pertains to me, absolutely nothing. That being said, there are great things happening in prison ministry, which I'll be happy to share with you. But unfortunately, in a lot of these facilities and all of the ones that I'm connected to, religious services are considered non-essential. And that's a tough blow for me to think that something I've given my life to, as it applies to Sunday, my pearl of great price, my buried treasure, is my vocation to the priesthood, and not to be able to share that with so many men and women who need it the most, and having it called non-essential, that's a tough blow. Of course, with the norms of social distancing and all the norms that we're discussing and implementing in terms of the pandemic, both from church circles and state circles, national circles, smaller levels, larger levels, and so on. It's no different in prison. And so pretty much it's basically the same thing. Of all of the chaplains that I'm connected to, there's only one, and he does tremendous work, permanent deacon. That facility in particular does have a common chapel they share with every other denomination, including Satanists, and atheists, believe it or not. They need to share the chapel with that because of the law. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that one. That chapel is closed because all public areas are closed. But in that facility, the chaplain is able to visit a cell if he's personally requested by one of the inmates. And that facility likewise has a live stream TV of sorts. So he's able to do prayer services and at least the men there would be able to have communion. But because he's a deacon and no priests are allowed, in fact, no outsiders are allowed, no confession, no celebration of the Holy Mass in that place. And in the other places, I know another chaplain who also doubles as a chaplain for nuns in the area. So he's recording the Mass every day on CD with the lovely voices of the sisters singing the different parts of the Mass, and I've been told the inmates love it. He's able to likewise broadcast that CD into his facility. And another one, they actually shut their doors to all volunteers a couple of weeks before COVID hit, or the devastation, or the largeness of COVID hit. And there's only one interfaith chaplain there who's a evangelical Christian. So the only Christian services those inmates are getting are from the perspective of the evangelical church. And despite letters and phone calls, and there's absolutely nothing that can be done at this time. So I don't know if I answered your question. There is great ministry going on, but just like in our parishes, it just looks different.
And we also pray to the Holy Spirit, Father D'Amico, that those who are incarcerated are hearing your voice. And we have heard from many who are incarcerated, who have come back to their faith or stay in touch with their faith through Relevant Radio. In fact, and this goes back about 4 years ago, it was one of the very first pledge drives that I had the blessing to be involved with here at Relevant Radio. And we got a pledge for $1.87 because, as you know, those who are incarcerated do have some jobs in the prison community and make a very small amount of money. And this was from a gentleman who is in one of the toughest prisons in the United States. And you know, the East Jersey State Prison, Rahway Prison, this maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. But there was something about Relevant Radio that attracted to him and brought him back to his faith. And that little pittance that he got, it's the widow's mite, he gave to Relevant Radio. Never forget that.
He gave from his surplus and not his, he gave from his need and not his surplus. That certainly is the widow's mite. But over the years, John, I've been so blessed to hear and to be a witness to so many wonderful conversion stories. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before. This was maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I do have permission from my cardinal to not to forego the RCIA process, but it's a shorter RCIA process. So I did a full initiation for a gentleman. Now get this. He converted while in state prison. Okay. His sponsor is a former skinhead. He was a member of a crypt gang. He was evangelized by another rival gang, and he found his way to the Catholic Church, and doing so, he put a price on his head. And the former skinhead, he would be much older, who was his sponsor in the faith, likewise converted to the Catholic Church while in the prison by another inmate, and he attributes his conversion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he's one of our best leaders of song and one of our best Catholic ministers while on the inside. And he in particular is taking front center in my prayers because he's due to be released. And every time I celebrate Mass there, and now it's been a few months since I've been there, he's asking lots of questions about what the Catholic Church is like outside of jail. And so finally I said, you're so curious. I'm just confused. Why all the questions? And he reminded me his only experience of church is within jail. And he wants to find a church and a parish in which he's going to be accepted. And people aren't going to look at him strangely. And with the amount of tattoos the man has, it's going to be a little bit of a stretch. And I'm hoping and praying I get to see him before he's released, which is going to be soon, just to reassure him that, yeah, there are parishes out there that will love you, embrace you, and accept you.
Father D'Amico, for most of us, we have not been in a jail setting or a prison community, except those who are in prison ministry. When a man has that type of conversion, what is the impact on those around him in that very difficult, tough environment?
Well, I mean, what they're saying, what they're seeing, the larger inmate population is, I'll call it meat and potatoes faith. You know, it's, they're brought to their knees by someone who comes from metaphorically speaking. These are men who come from their neighborhoods. These are men who come from similar backgrounds. These are men who battle the similar demons that everybody else in the jail has been battling. So when they hear a sermon or a reflection or a witness, not from a priest, but they love their priests. Religion, Eucharist, reconciliation is like oxygen in my experience with so many. But when they hear the perspective of that, when they hear about a witness from somebody who looks like them and comes from a similar neighborhood, that perspective on the gospel and faith is powerful, and it definitely has a ripple effect. I'll share with you an example and a quick summary of an article that came out of the Catholic News Agency. And this was part of that advocate article that I was asked to write. So a man sentenced to 30 years for murder. This is in Italy. And the article, it's a fictitious name, refers to him as Luigi, had a vocation he thought as a boy. And fortunately, alcohol, drugs, and violence changed his life. And he committed murder in the midst of a fistfight. Gave up his faith and gave up his religion until finally he got that whisper of the Holy Spirit, freed of his demons of alcohol and drugs, started to pray, went back to Mass, and by the graces of wonderful priest chaplains that he had there in jail. Now, get this. Of course, he would not be ordained a priest, but he was writing to his bishop about his vocation, former vocation, reemerged vocation. His bishop allowed him to take private vows, chastity, poverty, and obedience while in jail. And they say the ripple effect of him making that public statement about his life is very powerful. And this is what he said. His vow of chastity will allow me to mortify what is external so that what is most important in life may emerge. Poverty will give me the ability to share life generously with other prisoners. Obedience, the willingness to listen while knowing that God speaks through the mouth of fools. This is a man who committed murder. This is incredible stories of mercy and reconciliation.
Wow, very powerful story. Father Joe D'Amico with us today, the pastor of St. Anastasia Parish in Teaneck, New Jersey. Father's the Archdiocesan Director of Prison Ministry in the Archdiocese of Newark, and we're speaking to the pandemic and prison ministry, but in a bigger picture, how many of you have ever been involved in prison ministry? Because we do know in some dioceses, lay people are involved in prison ministry to a certain extent. Have you ever been involved in prison ministry? What has been your experience? We'd like to hear your stories. If you have been involved in prison ministry, how did those who are incarcerated touch you, and how did you touch them? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, or perhaps some of you are discerning whether or not to get involved in your diocesan prison ministry program. Father D'Amico can give you some spiritual direction on that as well on the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line at 888-914-9149. And we'll get to your calls, questions, and also your experiences if you have been involved in prison ministry coming up after we hear today's gospel. And Jesus explains the parable of the sower. Our gospel from the 13th chapter of Matthew, now at 18 after on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.